This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Anybody ever hurt you? Anybody ever offend you? Anybody ever get on your nerves? Anybody ever do things that they should not do? Then you have an opportunity to show that you know how to return good in place of evil. Romans 12, starting with verse 17, it says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." Let's break it down. Number one, refuse retaliation. That's what it says. It says, repay no one evil for evil. It says, do not avenge yourself, because it's God's place to avenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. What does it mean to retaliate? Well, here it is. You do something bad to me, I try to pay you back for what you did. That's retaliation. That's giving back evil for evil. And that's what the word says that we shouldn't do. Now, let's make sure we understand how that works. Suppose you were to come up and rear back your fist and get ready to hit me in the face, and I put up my arms to stop you. Have I retaliated against you? No. Well, suppose even as you're getting ready to hit me in the face, I grab hold of your arms and I restrain you so that you are not able to move and hit me. Have I retaliated against you? No. But suppose you do hit me, and once you hit me, I grab you and I rear back and I go, wham, you hit me again, you're going to feel it, brother. What's happened? I just retaliated. Amen. See, he's not talking about we can't defend ourselves. What he's saying is, when I'm trying to get some payback, when I'm trying to pay you back for what you did for me, that's retaliation. That's that spirit of retaliation. Let's take another example. How many of you have, in the recent past, had somebody show you a bad attitude? Somebody got up in your face with a bad attitude. Let me just see. Anybody been there? All right, amen. Now, how did you respond? When they showed you their bad attitude, what went on display with a lot of us? Our bad attitude, isn't that right? You show me a bad attitude, what? You get a bad attitude right back. You know what that is? That's retaliation. That's retaliation. It's easy to get into the spirit of retaliation without even thinking about it. Amen? But here's a good way to recognize it. You have a bad attitude toward me, and I come back with a bad attitude toward you, I'm retaliating. You cursed me, I cursed you. That's the spirit of retaliation. The Bible says that in order to truly love unlovable people, I have to refuse retaliation. Throughout Scripture, God says it over and over in different ways. As a man of God, as a woman of God, when somebody provokes us or hurts us or even downright persecutes us, we cannot afford to treat them the way they've treated us. We've got to refuse retaliation. Go over to Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse 29. He says, "Do not say, 'I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work.'" God says we cannot afford the spirit of retaliation. We've got to refuse to retaliate. Well, why is that so important to Christians? Understand something. Our spiritual health is wrapped up in the refusal to retaliate. Look again at Romans chapter 12, verse 19. look at why God urges us to not have a spirit of retaliation when people do us wrong. Romans 12:19, once again, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Catch it. God says that repaying people for the wrong that they do to his children is his responsibility. God takes it upon himself to deal with people who do wrong by his children. God takes care of that for us. Amen? We don't have to be trying to get some payback because God will do it. In fact, guess what? When I get ready to retaliate against somebody for what they did to me, you know what I'm really doing? I am saying, God, step aside for a moment. I know this is your job to deal with people who have hurt me or have done something to me. I know you said that you will repay, but no, God, my feelings are up. Oh, no, God, I got to take care of this. I can't let it go. God, get out of my way. And you just bump God to the side. What you're really saying is, God, for the next few seconds while I retaliate against this person, I'm going to be God. You just stand there and watch. No. God says it's his place and nobody else's to repay people for the wrong that they do in our lives. Understand, even our world doesn't allow that. It's called taking the law into your own hands. Amen? Think about it. Suppose somebody, and you know, praise the Lord, this is just an example, but suppose somebody was to shoot my brother. They shot my brother, so I go get a gun, I hunt them down, and I shoot them. Now, did they deserve it? Oh, yeah. They deserve it. But guess what? Who's going to be in prison? We'd probably be cellmates. Why? Because I don't have the right to move into the place that the law alone has and take that place and retaliate on my own. Catch this. When somebody treats me badly and I retaliate by coming back at them the same way they came at me, in the sight of God, I am even more guilty than they are. Whatever they did to me was wrong, yes. But if I do the same thing back to them, as far as God is concerned, I am just as wrong as they are. Amen? And besides that, I know that I'm not supposed to retaliate. I know that I'm supposed to leave vengeance to God. I know that I am disrespecting God, pushing him out of his place when I try to come back at somebody the same way they came to me. I'm slapping God in the face saying, get out of my way so I can do what I need to do. God says, I'm even more guilty than the person who hurt me in the first place. Go over to Psalm 118, verse 6. You know the reason that we are so committed to retaliating against somebody, coming back at them the way that they came at us? It's because we feel like if we don't retaliate, they'll just keep on doing it. They'll just keep on doing it. And we want to make sure that they don't. We want to make sure that they stop. We want to make sure that they realize there's a price to pay for doing whatever they did in our lives that offended us or hurt us so much. Look at this, Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When you've got the Lord on your side, why would you be afraid of what some man can do to you? If God be for me, what? Who can be against me? Understand, when I retaliate against somebody, what I'm really doing is saying, God, I don't trust you to take care of the situation. I don't trust you to protect me, and I don't trust you to deal with the one who hurt me. And that's why I feel like I gotta do it myself. When we retaliate against people who hurt us, that is a failure of faith. And without faith, I cannot please God. Do you realize that everything in the Christian life operates by faith? We receive God's blessings by faith. So catch this. When I fall into the trap of retaliation, not only do I sin before God and slap him in the face, but my lack of faith in his ability to protect me becomes a roadblock in his ability to bless me. Retaliation is lack of faith. When I come back at somebody the way they came at me, I'm telling God he can't handle the situation, and I'm putting myself in a place where God can't bless me. Go back to Romans 12 and look at verse 18. The first thing that we said, in order to replace evil with good, is that we've got to refuse retaliation. Well, here's the second thing. We need to stay in peace and stay out of strife. Look at Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on me, I've got to have the determination to live peaceably with my brother and my sister. Even though they're the one that's in the wrong, even though they're the one that's provoking me, my commitment is to do everything in my power to be at peace with you and not to be in strife. If somebody insults you, how do you handle it? If somebody disrespects you, how do you handle it? If somebody takes something that you believe should belong to you, how do you handle it? Well, the scripture is telling me that a major consideration in the way I handle each one of those issues is what? I'm going to maintain peace and stay out of strife. You know what that means? And this can get hard sometimes. Sometimes I will let people do to me what I consider to be wrong, rather than break peace. Wow. Now, the scripture is not telling us let people walk all over you. Amen? It does say as much as depends on you. Sometimes you can't avoid it. Sometimes there's a principle involved, and you got to stand up for that principle. Amen? You never back down on issues of right and wrong. When the disciples were preaching Jesus and the authorities told them, stop preaching, they say, you decide whether it's better for us to obey God or obey man. Oh no, there's some things you never back down on. Some things you take a stand and say, bring on everything you got, because here I stand. Because this is truth. This is the will of God. But there are some other things where it is at our discretion whether we break the peace or not. You go to the grocery store. You hand over your money. They give you back your change. You count it. It's 2 pennies short. How much of a shit scene are you going to make? Do you know there are some people that will stand there and argue for a half hour over 2 pennies? Amen? Sometimes you get to the point where you just say, I would rather take the loss than break the peace. Why? Because the people of God are to be peacemakers, not peacebreakers. Jesus said, what? Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen? And so he's telling us, as much as I have anything to do with it, I've got to live peaceably with all men. In other words, catch this. As a Christian, this is the stance that you need to take. Brother, sister, I can't control you, but you're going to have to work awfully hard to have a fight with me. You're going to really have to work at it to have a fight with me. You can offend me. You can insult me. You can call me dirty names. Whatever you do, you're still going to have to work very hard to have a fight with me. You see, there's a totally different spirit, isn't there, that the Word of God tells us that we as Christians need to walk in? It's not the spirit of retaliation coming back at somebody the same way they came at us. It's the spirit that says, I trust God to make it right. You may offend me. You may do things to me that you shouldn't do. My trust is in the Lord. In fact, Romans 12, look at verse 14. Here's how this thing is supposed to work. Instead of coming back at people the way they came at you, returning unto them evil for evil, look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 and 21. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's the principle. Here's the spiritual principle we need to grab hold of. When somebody comes at you in a negative, destructive, and harmful way, you need to be already committed to coming back at them in the opposite spirit from the way they came at you. Go over to Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse 1. When someone comes at you in a negative, destructive, or harmful way, you need to be already committed, even before it happens, you're already committed to come back at them in the opposite spirit from the way they came at you. Proverbs 15:1 gives a principle. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh tongue stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. When somebody comes at you harshly, comes at you cursing, comes at you saying profane and evil things, how do you come back at them? Let me just find out here now. I'm meddling right now, but I just want to know. How many of you have ever in your life had somebody curse at you and you cursed right back? Let me just see. Sometime in your life. All right, amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you have had that happen in your life since you've been a Christian? Let me just see. Oh, amen. Amen. Well, let's take it a step further. How many of you have had that happen in the recent past? Recent past. All right, amen. How about yesterday? Understand, we're talking about something that's real. Amen. People will provoke you. People will say and do evil things. But we need to be committed. They come at us with a harsh word, we return a soft word. They come at us with harsh and negative words of cursing, we return soft and positive words of blessing. They come at us with a bad attitude, we come right back at them with a good attitude. They come at us with hatred, and what do we return? We return love. Now, is this natural? Is this easy? Oh, no. See, this is what marks the difference between us and the rest of the world. Jesus says it's easy to treat people right when they're treating you right. Amen? When it gets hard, the real test is when they're not treating you right, to still treat you with love. Think we got that? Do we think we got it? We understand that? Let's take a quick quiz here. You and your spouse have had a bad argument. And let's just say you're the wife. Your husband says some really harsh and unkind things to you. And you are very hurt and very angry. And both of you are now sitting down watching TV. You get up to go into the kitchen. And when you get up, your husband says, "Honey, while you're up, would you bring me a can of soda from the refrigerator?" Okay, let's take our quiz now. How do you respond? Number one, how many of you just totally ignore him? Just like you didn't hear him. Don't we do that sometimes? Uh-huh. Just keep right on stepping. Come back and sit down just like you didn't hear him. Is that what God says we ought to do? What is that? That's a way of retaliating, isn't it? Well, let's take it a step further. Okay, you don't ignore him. You just tell him you want it, you can get it yourself. You like that one? Amen, amen. Amen. Have we gotten anywhere near yet having that opposite spirit from the way he came at us? Have we gotten anywhere near yet not returning cursing for cursing, but blessing him? Have we gotten there yet? Well, let's take a step further. See, you've been coming to church and you've been coming to Bible study, so you know that those are things are not good. So you do go to the refrigerator, you do get that can of soda, you do walk up to him and you throw it right in his face. How many of you like that one? How many of you have done that one? All right, let's try this one. This one is good. See, I like this one. This one shows some creativity. He asked for a can of soda, so you go to the refrigerator, you get that can of soda, but before you go to him, you shake it real good, so when he opens it, it's going to spew all over him. How many of you like that one? Oh, yeah. Amen. Here's what a lot of us do. We go to the refrigerator, we'll get that can of soda, we'll take it to him and we'll hand it to him, but we do it with a real bad attitude. We want to let him know, I am not happy with you. And you can tell it from my attitude. How many of you have been there? Amen? Bad attitude. And then we get feeling like a martyr. I'll show you. I'm going to give you your soda. But I want you to know, I'm not happy. Let's take one more. You go to the refrigerator. You get that can of soda. You take it to him. You walk up in front of him with a smile on your face. You hand him that soda. And you say, honey, is there anything else I can do for you while I'm up? How many of you like that one? How many of you do that one? We are to return what? Blessing for cursing. If your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, what? Give him that soda to drink. And do it with a good attitude. And when you do that, look at what it says. Back in verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. You will heap coals of fire on his head. What does that mean? How comfortable do you think you would be with coals of fire on your head? No, when you return good for evil, you make that person very uncomfortable. Because you know what you're doing? You're giving God an opportunity to operate in that person's conscience. When I do you wrong, somewhere inside I realize that I was wrong. Somewhere inside I realize that I have offended you, I've hurt you, I've been aggressive toward you. Somewhere inside I realize that. But if you come back at me the same way, I feel justified. But if you're nice to me when I haven't been nice to you, guess what? My conscience starts to be awakened. I have this picture in my mind of me as a young child. I don't know how old I was, but I must have been pretty young because I had to climb up on a chair to get to the top of the refrigerator in our kitchen. And the reason I was climbing up there on the top of the refrigerator, that's where I kept my money. So I had some coins up there, and I was going up there to get some coins. You know why I was going to get those coins? My cousin lived with us at that time. And I don't remember what it was I had done to her, but I had done something to her. I had said something to her. Whatever it was, I felt guilty. So I went to get my money to give to her because I felt guilty for what I did. Now, understand, you can't fix it with money. Amen. But God can take whatever it is that that person has done and use our positive attitude toward them to stir up their conscience so that they realize, no, wait a minute, I'm the one who has been wrong in this. God says we put coals of fire on their head. And the result of all of that, how do you deal with evil people? How do you get victory over evil people? How do you get victory over the evil that people try to do in your life? The things that they try to do to hurt you or to harm you or to get their way in spite of you. How do you deal with that successfully? Look at verse 21. This is what this is all about. God is not saying you just got to take it. God is not saying you just got to let people walk all over you and just say, well, I'm a Christian. They can do anything they want to with me, and it's all right. That's not what he's talking about. This is not a negative, passive thing. This is a positive action kind of thing. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. God says that when I am willing to come back at people, not the way they come at me, but in that spirit of love, in that spirit of blessing, in that spirit of lifting them up, even though they've tried to put me down. When I try to do that, when I'm committed to doing that in order to please him, I will have victory in that situation because my good can overcome their evil. You want to know how to be a winner? When people come against you, return good for evil. You want to know how to be as much of a loser as they are? Keep on trying to give them back what they gave you. Bottom line, when we reward evil with good, it gives God a chance to do what only God can do. But when we come back in a spirit of retaliation, trying to make the person pay for what they've done to us, the only thing we'll get is retaliation right back at us. Instead of good, we will be overcome by evil because we're playing on the devil's territory. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we make that determination and that commitment in our lives, guess what? The whole world will see our love for one another. Amen? You have to work real hard to offend me. You have to work real hard to get in strife with me. Have to work real hard to break our relationship. People will see the love of Jesus, and they will be drawn to him.